Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week, we go in depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more, discussing important topics throughout higher education, research, and student life. I'm Derek Smith, and our guest today is Drew Pittman. Drew serves as Associate Athletic Director for Event Management and Facilities at Baylor. In that role, he handles event management at McLean Stadium and the Farrell Center, helping coordinate logistics with a variety of teams or organizations, ranging from the city of Waco to the event staff that people see at games. Over the past year, he and his colleagues have rapidly adjusted to prepare facilities for attendance limitations and the safety of fans amidst COVID-19. A 2004 Baylor graduate, Pittman joined Baylor Athletics in 2005. As we visit, you're actually getting ready for a commencement, among other things taking place here at Baylor. And Drew, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us here on the program.
Oh, thanks for having me, Derek. I'm excited to be here.
And I have to say, a personal story going way back here. I actually came the summer before I came to grad school at Baylor. I came and took a tour of the Castelaw Communications Center. And I'm 99.9% sure that the student who gave me that tour at the time was you.
It's a good possibility at that time frame, it would have been me.
Yes, because when I got to know you a little more in your role now, I'm like, wait a minute, I've seen this guy before. And I'm pretty sure it was you. So you basically go back almost to my genesis here at Baylor. So that's always fun, but great to have you on the show here today and let people know a little bit more about what you do, what you and your team have done, some pretty amazing work over the last year, especially, and then talk about a personal story as well a little bit later on, as you and your wife, Alyssa, have made adoption a part of your own family journey. But let's start with some of the work you do in facilities. And let's take COVID-19 out of the equation for just a moment. To the extent that we're talking about a normal time, what would constitute a quote unquote normal week for you? I know there's different seasons, but are there elements, no matter the sports seasons, that are the constants in your world that are on your plate?
Yeah, I mean, we talk about events, that's our business. That's what we do all the time. So, you know, every week we start on Monday with an event meeting to really go over everything that's happening that week and actually talk about the next week and the following week and, you know, some things that are months and months out. But we do that every Monday morning. That meeting kind of sets the tone for us every week about what's going to be happening. And that, you know, includes staff from our office in event management facilities, but also those from both other areas of the athletic department, but also other areas of campus. You know, we, you know, coordinate and work with our police department, our housekeeping, our maintenance team. So, you know, a good group of people. And that's kind of how every week starts. And then it diverges into whatever's next. And so, you know, on a normal week, that's us getting ready for events and hosting events for our teams and trying to make a, you know, great atmosphere and a great place to play for our student athletes. And then special events as well. So like you talked about, we've got commencement coming up and that's a big lift for everybody at the university. And so we're just a small part of that, but really all that with coordinating and stuff. And so that's kind of a normal week. What I tell people when they ask about what I do is there aren't a whole lot of normal weeks, because there's always something different going on. So whether that is, commencement, which is a little bit out of the normal for us, we don't do that every week. A national championship parade or something like that. There's all sorts of different stuff that kind of pops up and we work with that stuff too.
About how many events would you estimate come across through your team's filter in a normal year?
You know, we try to count that up at the end of every year just to see what we've done and compare it against the previous years and 2020 a little bit different than others in the spring and into the fall even. But I'd say on a normal year, we're somewhere around 200, 225
wow.
events. And that really encompasses everything from, tennis matches to soccer matches, to baseball games, to softball, to, you know, across the 19 sports, that we have, but then also including, university events and outside events. We not in 2021 or 2020, but we normally have a really robust, high school graduation program where we've got 9 or 10 schools graduating here at the Farrell Center. It kind of runs the gamut as far as all those different events go.
you know, you've even had, jogging my memory, talk about kind of things that you don't necessarily have every year. I mean, I think back to several years ago, what, 2013, the West Memorial. I mean, you hosted the President of the United States, Barack Obama, at the time. And that was, I assume, a good portion of that under your guys' purview.
Yeah, we've had some, you know, really unique opportunities there, you know, to help and serve that community, especially in 2013, and host the president and host our senators and congressional representatives, and obviously the families there. So that was a really unique one. You know, we've had George W. here for a basketball game or two. Reaching way back, had Barbara Bush speak here. So, you know, really runs the gamut as far as, you know, different people that have come and been part of an event here at the Farrell Center.
Drew, this is a broad question because I know there's a lot of orchestration that takes place, but what kind of things go into planning for a home football game? What are the kind of things that when you're up there in the control room that probably most people sitting at the game wouldn't think about going into that?
You know, it's complex. Maybe it's not as complex as we always think about it, but it's really a coordination effort more than anything. And just making sure that everybody has the information they need, and is in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. You know, so at the very end that our student athletes can be successful and have a great experience, you know, during whatever competition we're hosting. So football, obviously the most complex for us just because of the number of fans and workers, vendors, everybody that's involved. So it is an effort. It's really a team effort here. We've got 11 people in this group in event management and facilities, and everybody pitches in and plays a part of a football game. And really it's a huge team effort. We're just really lucky that we've got great people here. We've got great people across the athletic department, across the university that are all really supportive. You know, from our parking services on campus to our police department, to all the different groups that are really helpful to us to making those events successful.
So if there's some, you talk about making sure everything's working in concert. What have you learned about bringing different disparate groups to, you know, everyone has a different role, but they're all working together towards the success of the game day event. If there are people who have jobs that rely on orchestrating a lot of people, what's the biggest thing you've learned about, whether it's working with the city, the university, whether it's with Rhino and game day staff, what have you learned about bringing a bunch of disparate groups together in one group?
You know, and I don't think this will be a big surprise, but communication, communication, communication. So, you know, we probably meet, some people may say we meet too much, but it's really, you know, that effort just to make sure that everybody's on the same sheet of music. So to say, you know, we put out a couple different documents every game week that try to be really encompassing, as far as one's a really long, you know, 30, 40 page document that just has all the details in it. And we've got a large distribution group that goes out to. So there's never an opportunity for somebody to say, hey, I didn't know, or I didn't know where that was supposed to be, or anything like that. But then we also distill it down to really one page. And that piece of information, we call it the game sheet. And it goes out to every buddy that's working that event, whether you're a Rhino employee that's working at a gate, you're in the custodial staff, you're a police officer, you're in concessions. Everybody gets that one piece of information that tries to give everybody, you know, answers for that day. So if somebody comes up and asks, hey, where's this? And it has nothing to do with whatever it is that you're really there to do, you've got some tools to be able to answer that. So, you know, just getting everybody talking. We have an event meeting for specifically for football, an event management meeting for football that we have on Tuesdays prior to home games. And I really enjoyed it when we haven't had it in person, obviously, in a year. But when we had it in person, we tried to make the meeting really short and concise, because I said, hey, the value of this meeting is you being in this room and getting to go talk to that person over on the other side of the table that you've got a question for, so that everybody can be on the same page when it gets to that game on Saturday. So we did the same thing this year. We actually booked the meeting for an hour. So we sent out calendar invitations that were an hour. The meeting really only lasted about 25 minutes. And I said to everybody when we're done with the meeting, I said, hey, we're done with the meeting. I said, you've been on this Zoom call. You see everybody's face on here. I said, what I want you to do is get off the meeting and then pick up the phone and call whoever it is that you would have gone across the room and talked to. And I said, you've got 35 minutes on your calendar to do that, because we booked this for an hour. And we were really pretty successful kind of trying to engage people that way. And it felt like it worked really well.
That's great. Well, hopefully we're getting closer to the day that some of those things can be reinstituted as we move further into the summer and the fall. Maybe, I don't know, you guys will know far better than we do when that time will come, as we visit with Drew Pittman. And Drew, let's talk about that, the in-person versus not in-person aspect. And specifically going back a little over a year ago when this pandemic began, and then you move into the summer and are trying to figure out, are we going to be able to have seasons? Are we not? What's it going to look like? Where did you all even begin when it was when it became apparent that this was a thing and you guys had to be ready for about anything?
You know, we did a couple of things. We really embraced, you know, Teams and Zoom and all these formats really, really early. We're doing a little of it before the pandemic happened. And really those things helped us a lot, but we tried to be really, you know, out there in our industry as much as we could as well. So we started a weekly call with the event managers and game managers in the Big 12 in mid-April of 2020. And we hosted that as a group from Baylor, and we actually still host that call to this day. We only do it every 2 weeks now, but let folks from around the Big 12 share information, share ideas, bounce questions off each other. And that was just so, so beneficial to all of us, you know, here at the university, but also at all the other, at our peer institutions. And so that was just I don't even know. I almost sometimes describe it as magical. It seemed like superhuman what was happening there, because you would have a question and really we would run it around in this office or on our Teams call or whatever, and just not come up with any good ideas. And then we'd be on the call and somebody from the other institution would have another institution would have a similar question. And then somebody from a third institution would have a great answer. And so that really helped all of us across the conference be successful. So just that collaboration, both within the university, but also within our conference, and even from some institutions outside of our conference that we would talk to regularly, just, I think, helped make all of us really successful last year. The second part of the question or the answer is we started every day, and I said this, I don't know how many times, but we would work on a project and then things would change radically. And we would say, hey, whatever we just worked on, we're really actually just going to throw all that away and we're going to start over. And so I started with our staff members every day, and just, we started with that message. Hey, I need you to work really, really hard on this. I also need you to understand that we may throw all this away at the end of the day, and tomorrow we may start on something new. And so we tried just to set a tone of, we need to work and we need to figure these things out, but we don't need to be too disappointed when the circumstances change, and we have to go another way. And so really just, you know, starting with that message, I think helped a lot of folks kind of get into the mindset of, we got to figure this out. We got to work together and we got to figure this out, but also there's going to be changes. We're going to have to pivot. And then we're going to have to, you know, figure out answers to new questions and try to be successful that way as well.
This is Baylor Connections. We are visiting with Drew Pittman, Associate Athletic Director for Event Management and Facilities at Baylor. And what stands out to you, you know, you and your team, I think there's really a lot of unsung heroes in your department. But as you know, we talk about you all planning. We're not even talking about physically implementing things like making sure that fans can stay socially distanced, thinking about lines and egress out of the stadium, all the things that suddenly change when you're talking about trying your best to keep people 6 feet apart. But as that all relates to, you know, planning and implementing, what should people know about really your teammates in facilities and event management? You've been there, what, 16 years now? And I think, you know, I've seen the work you all do, and it's pretty amazing and often unsung, but even more so in the last year.
Yeah, I'm extremely lucky to work with this group of people, a wealth of knowledge in this area. I don't know, I've never added together how many years of service we have here together, but we've got, you know, just a great team, people that have been around here for a really long time. So, you know, Paula Young, who her office is next door to mine, has been at the institution for over 35 years. Just has an amazing amount of knowledge about what's going on, about the people here and everything. You know, Hoot Jonigan, who's now working with softball, was with us through the entire year 2020. And he has been at the university for over 25 years. Martha Moore, our administrative assistant, who may work harder than all of us, has been at the university for a really long time. So that wealth of knowledge, that experience that people have, just brings a lot to us. But we've got newer employees though, who've been here, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years, who pitch in just the same. You know, we actually hired an employee during the pandemic in the fall. That was, you know, just a huge challenge as far as getting people together. But I'd say the thing that people probably don't see is the hours and the work that goes into it, which isn't a surprise to anybody. We've got people that at some points in the year, they see each other, they see me, they see our other coworkers more than they see their family. By far, it's almost like they live here. And they are just extremely dedicated, both to our fans, but even more so probably to our student athletes. And just trying to provide, you know, that experience that we want all of them to have. And last couple of years, last few months, I guess, have been, you know, difficult for everybody, a lot of changes and stuff. And so we're just trying to make that experience for those student athletes special and still get the great competitive environment that they all want to play in.
Well, you talk about, you know, the last few months, I've been thinking, you know, you talk about them being there so often in many cases, what, the first one in and the last one out, just about, in a lot of cases. I even know at Baylor baseball, you know, they were working on plans, you know, to where fans could sit, and then the you know, then the capacity was able to increase, thankfully, and so they adjusted to that, and watching all that's been impressive. I'm curious, talking about that specifically, that was it last month that we increased attendance at spring of outdoor events to 50%. And I'm curious, people probably curious, and as we maybe, you know, you hear about different ball clubs doing different things, what factors go into helping you make those decisions at the right time?
You know, Kenny on the team and the team on campus really spend a lot of time diligently thinking about that and understanding what's going on here. What are our public health authorities in McLennan County think? What do our public health authorities in the state think? What's the guidance, the current guidance from the CDC? And everybody really is, you know, takes a level of care that is just, you know, it's incredible. Just the detailed and thoughtful conversations that go into it. And then it changes. You know, I think everybody's been excited to see us change in a positive direction. That week we changed for spring sports, for baseball, softball, tennis, I think we still had soccer going on at that point in time, was pretty interesting, because I think we had a baseball game, you may remember, on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And I think we started a series with Texas maybe on Friday.
Yes.
And so I think of our 11 staff members, I think at least 10 of us were out at baseball on Thursday, pulling stickers off of seats and changing markers and stuff like that. But it's a really well thought out program, both within the athletic department and within the institution. And, you know, the decisions are without a doubt not made on a whim. And really, you know, once again, trying to take into account, we want to provide a great experience for everybody, but at the same time, we want to do it safely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's certainly been exciting to see a lot of people outdoors, a lot of people enjoying those outdoor sporting events for the first time in a while. And that's good to see with some more events upcoming here soon. As we visit with Drew Pittman here on Baylor Connections, Drew, as we head into the final few minutes, I want to shift gears a little bit, because you and your family really have a great family story. You and your wife, Alyssa, fellow Baylor grad, correct?
That's right.
She's a fellow Baylor grad. You both have a pretty, really incredible story of adoption and expanding your family. I know you have three children, Oleg, Archer, and Ellis. And Oleg was the first addition to your family through adoption. And I was wondering if you'd mind just telling us a little bit about your adoption story and a little bit about Oleg and Archer, because it was quite a journey for you and them to all come together.
Yeah, absolutely. We did start a little bit less than traditionally. We went from zero kids to one 10-year-old in the course of a day. So it was a little different. We adopted Oleg from Ukraine 8 years ago now, a little bit over 8 years ago, which is hard to believe that it's time has just flown by. But Alyssa has always had a heart for adoption. She spent a summer in Nicaragua volunteering in an orphanage after she graduated from high school with one of her high school friends. And her family's just always been really supportive. My family's been really supportive of it. So we made that decision, over 10 years ago that's the direction we wanted to do, really pretty soon after we got married. And so we actually started the process to adopt a little boy from Russia. And then laws and politics changed and Russia closed adoptions to American citizens. And so we ended up over in Ukraine adopting Oleg. And as you know, a little bit unique, Oleg is 100% blind. He was born blind. And so just a little bit different challenge there as well. But it's just been just the most amazing, God-ordained plan and blessing for our family, which is just, it's been so special. And I guess then 3 years after we adopted Oleg, if I do my math right, I have to think about this on the fly, but we adopted our second son, Archer. He's 10 now. He was 5 at the time. And he is just the most energetic, biggest Baylor fan you've ever met. He's not a sibling. He's if Ukraine's about the size of the state of Texas, they're from El Paso and Beaumont, just about as far apart as you can get from their in their home country. But he's just was another great addition to our family. So we went from having no children to having a 10-year-old. Then we ended up with a 13-year-old and a 5-year-old. And then about 2.5 years ago, we had our third son, Ellis. And so it's been a fun and exciting experience. But adoption has just been such an amazing part of our family story, and just is really a unique thing. And just really blessed to be here at Baylor, because it's something that the institution really supports. And just, makes different resources available, and just has always been really good with us as far as that process goes. I think when we adopted Oleg, all told, we spent about 30 days in Ukraine. I think that was the year we played in the Fiesta Bowl. So I think we flew from Dallas to Ukraine, spent a week there doing the initial proceedings, and then flew from Ukraine back to Phoenix for the Fiesta Bowl, spent 6 or 7 days, whatever it was, in Phoenix, flew home to Waco. And then I think we were in Waco for about 10 days and then flew back to Ukraine for 20 days. So
wow,
kind of a whirlwind trip that year.
Amazing. Absolutely. I think most people, when they hear your story, you kind of put yourself in those shoes and think about, welcoming a 10-year-old into your family, a 10-year-old who was born blind. And, it's a lot to think about. And it really stands out to me as, something you guys did that's really amazing in taking on something like that. I imagine you guys probably, it's normal to you now. I mean, now, but what stood out to you about, were there any factors in that decision, especially that just, like you said, it's a God thing that stood out to you when you think about welcoming a 10-year-old from another country without eyesight into your family? What made that just the obvious choice for you all?
I think part of it was just our acknowledgement that there are just, hundreds of thousands of kids. I don't know the exact numbers, millions of kids, probably, I guess, around the world that are waiting to be adopted in different countries, and kids that are older traditionally have a lot lower shot of getting a successful completed adoption, and so that's what Alyssa had seen when she was in Nicaragua. Kids that are 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and really want a family, really want to be part of a family, but don't have as many opportunities just because of their age. And so she had kind of explained that to me early on, and we, really set our sights on, we didn't necessarily need a baby to be the first thing that happened at our house, and let's just go find a kid that's waiting, that wants a family, that wants to be adopted. And so Oleg was just the perfect person for us. We actually hosted him through a kind of a cultural exchange program, and he stayed with us for I think 6 or 8 weeks over the course of the summer. And that program is a little unique because it kind of helped us gain some confidence that we could, you know, meet his needs and be prepared for that. We kind of already started the adoption proceedings before that. And then he popped up in this cultural exchange program. So we're like, hey, let's host him and, you know, see if we really can give him what he needs. And it was a wild ride for those 6 or 8 weeks, but it was, you know, it's just so perfect. But I think that's the big thing that a lot of people, when they think of adoption, they just think, I'm going to go adopt a baby. And while that's an awesome thing as well, there's kids of all ages just waiting to be adopted in these countries. And I'd say, don't be scared. The really big benefit I can tell you is I didn't change a diaper until I had my third kid.
That's great.
So I, when we had Ellis a couple of years ago, I was confused as to how that even worked. But it's just a lot of neat experiences. You know, I've got a high school junior that we're looking for college choices, and you know, he's visiting different places. And so it's just it's a neat experience. The other thing I'll say just about, you know, people get worried about, oh, could I adopt a blind kid? I will just tell you, he has never seen a different experience, right? So he, like, being blind is his life experience and he understands it. And so there's no difference to him. So when people ask questions about how do you do this or how do you do that, or how do you make your bed in the morning? He goes, I just make my bed just like you make your bed. I get up and I pull the sheets up and I pull the comforter up and I put the pillows on top. But he's really well prepared for that. And I think all those kids are. So it's, you know, I tell people when they ask about that part, I say, hey, don't be scared of whatever challenges there may be. Hey, God's going to help. You know, figure this out with you. But it's a neat ride, and we couldn't be luckier to be their parents.
Well, that's fantastic. I appreciate you sharing that. It really paints a rich picture. I imagine life's a lot of fun. You guys at home with Oleg and Archer and Ellis all interacting right now.
It's a fun time. I think everybody gets a little bit of relief. Oleg goes to school throughout the day. Archer's homeschool at home with Alyssa, and then Ellis is 2.5. So I go to work. So everybody's probably there's a little more space when there's only 3 people at the house during the day, and then we're all come back at night, and it's a party every day.
That's great. Well, Drew, I really appreciate you taking the time and sharing both about your work and both about your adoption story as well. Thank you really much. Thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Derek. Had a great time.
Thank you. Drew Pittman, Associate Athletic Director for Event Management and Facilities, our guest today on Baylor Connections. I'm Derek Smith. A reminder, you can hear this and other programs online, baylor.edu/connections, and you can subscribe to the program on iTunes. Thanks for joining us here on Baylor Connections.